Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 226, recorded November 3rd, 2014.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Once again. That was very deep.
Was it?
Yeah, you did a very deep voice. You're like, greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Is that what it sounded like?
I can't do it. Okay. I can't go as deep as your voice can go.
It would be perhaps a little weird if you could. So.
Yeah, that would be weird. It wasn't a bad thing. I just kind of went, whoa, Russ is bringing out the bass.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Well, do you remember last week with the Halloween stuff?
That was pretty good.
That was maybe artificially you'll have enhanced. To go.
No, you're not supposed to tell them that.
They knew that. But this one wasn't. This was just
that
totally
was
me.
All was real. All
me. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I bet I know what you want to ask me.
What do I want to ask you?
You want to ask me who we're going to hear from today?
That's an awesome idea. Why don't I ask you that?
Okay, ask me.
Okay, who are we going to hear from today?
I'll tell you. We got Tony in New York and Roger in South Portland, Maine. Was that a new one?
No,
I don't recognize that name.
He's
just been
he's
a while
before. It's been okay. A little while, not that long.
Okay. Well, then it's just my faulty memory. Sorry, Roger. Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yep, those yep. are the three.
So, Tony's in an email says, greetings, Aquarimax. We took our vacation this year in Washington, D.C. and Maryland. Here's my contribution to the Aquarimax World Tour.
Cool.
So, we can't actually go on tour, so Tony is bringing the tour to us.
Yep. Because Kelly brought up about this idea of the Aquarimax World Tour.
And we've talked about that several times. It's
yes.
Like, oh, wouldn't it be fun?
It would be. And now Tony is making it a virtual reality.
At least to Washington, D.C.
Yeah. This is the first leg of the tour. So
yeah.
It is. It starts out in, of all places,
mm-hmm.
a bookstore.
Yes. Oh, he sent us videos. We didn't say that yet. He sent us three videos.
Which we will post.
Yes, so you can see them.
On the Facebook page and on
the show page.
Show page for this episode, episode 226. So you can go there and see the three videos that he's put up.
Mm-hmm.
The first video starts out, as we said, in a bookstore, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, but it's an amazing tank.
And apparently it's right next door to the Baltimore Aquarium, so I guess that's why they put it in.
Right. Likely enough, the Baltimore Aquarium actually takes care of that tank.
Probably.
It's kind of a feeder tank. They imagine mm-hmm. that people who are interested in that will say, oh, we're right next door to the Baltimore Aquarium.
Let's go see more fish.
So I think that's a good way to do it. It's a lovely planted freshwater tank with lots of discus.
Discus. So we thought of you, Matt, in Perth, Western Australia.
Yeah. And some cardinal tetras, quite a few of them, in fact, and several other tetras and some lovely plants. I think I saw some narrow-leaf java fern in there, and there were some crypts. There were all kinds of things.
It was really big.
It was really big. Like.
And Russ says, can we have a tank that big someday?
I would love to.
That would be
have
neat.
Have a tank like that. And then it goes to a place called Cherry Hill.
Which apparently is just outside Washington, D.C.
Right. But it's a sort of
it's in Maryland.
Campgroundy sort of place.
Yeah.
But it has cabins with aquaria.
Two saltwater tanks.
Yeah. And Tony gives us a lovely Aquarimax quiz/tour of those aquaria there. And I won't spoil that by saying a lot about what's in the tanks because I want you to be able to take your quiz.
But there's some very pretty freshwater fish.
Freshwater?
I
think you mean something
else. I meant saltwater.
Yes. But.
Sorry, I'm tired.
There is one species that I don't believe is mentioned in the quiz. Tony talked about. A number of fish that I won't talk about because I want you to listen to Tony. But there was one fish that I saw, the Domino Damsel. And that was a fish that I remember from our snorkeling days in Hawaii.
Yes, we would see those rather frequently. I really liked them.
Yeah, they were fun. When they're young, they're black with a couple of white spots on them. When they get older, the white spots kind of grow and the fish sort of becomes, I don't know how to describe it exactly. But the white spot sort of covers their whole body, but it's not quite as white anymore. And the edges of the fish are still dark. But it's not quite the same effect with the contrast as it is when it's young. But it's still a fun fish. But anyway, the young ones are really interesting because of that like a domino almost, except reversed. They're black, they're with black a little with white spots. And an interesting thing that I noticed one day when I was snorkeling, I don't know if this is documented somewhere, I imagine it probably is, but I just experienced it firsthand, so I'm not referring to a source about it because I don't know of any. I haven't particularly looked. But this is an interesting habit of this fish that I noticed. One day we were snorkeling at a different place. I think it was over at the Wolfersburgers. You know, the beach across from their house in Haula.
Okay.
And we hadn't snorkeled a whole lot over there. And we were snorkeling at some friend's house, across the street from some friend's house, and from the house of some friends. What am I saying? Anyway.
Their house was across from the beach.
Yeah, it was in Haula. And anyway, came by this piece of coral rubble, and I saw some little bits of detritus that were attached to the rock, like on little filaments of algae or whatever, and they were, the current was buffeting them about, but it was easy to see that they were attached by some, you know, thread-like piece of algae or something like that, by the way they were reacting in the current. But something in my fishy sense tingled, and I knew that there was something going on that was out of the ordinary. And so I approached a little closer to it, and I noticed that they were not pieces of detritus, but they were tiny little domino damsels, the smallest ones I'd ever seen.
So fairly young.
Yeah, like maybe a centimeter long or something like that, maybe smaller. I don't remember exactly, but they were quite tiny. And they weren't attached by any sort of string of algae, but they were swimming exactly as if they had been.
Looking, saying, oh, look at us, we're not food, we're just random algae bits clinging to the rock.
Exactly.
But you don't want to eat us.
And it was really interesting because they were behaving exactly as if there were a filament of something attaching them to that rock. And no matter how the current changed, they would orient themselves based on where that filament would have taken them had there been one. Fascinating. It's
pretty amazing.
And, you know, you get the waves coming one way and then another way and a different way and everything. And they reacted perfectly well, as if that's what were happening. So interesting to see something I hadn't heard of before. And it endeared the domino damsels to me all the more to find such a fascinating behavior. That I don't know if they exhibit that in aquaria, if people often keep them at that size when they're that small. I don't know if how long that behavior persists, nor do I know if the current conditions exist often enough. You know, it was some pretty rough current. If that exists often enough in aquaria for people to see it.
That is a good question.
From all these different directions. You know, I know people have wave makers and, you know, all kinds of things that can do that, but I don't know if they approach the sort of force that we were seeing out there or not. But anyway, it was quite a fascinating thing to see. So there you go. So please enjoy Tony's Aquarimax quiz and the first leg of the official virtual Aquarimax World Tour.
Maybe we should say, if you want us to virtually be in your neck of the woods, go take some video and send it in.
Yeah, and we'll do that.
Give us another leg of the Aquarimax Virtual World Tour.
I think that would be fun. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next we have Roger from South Portland, Maine. He says, I just received my fish order from aquariumfish.net today, and I wanted to share the fish with the Aquarimaxers.
Okay, let me just interject really quickly. Okay. Aquariumfish.net, that's Tom and Nevin, the Bailey brothers.
Oh, okay. So he ordered some fish from them.
That's their, retail slash wholesale leg of things.
Okay. Oh, goodness, excuse me. Okay, done yawning. I purchased one wild-caught chocolate ghost knife fish. That one was for Halloween, you know, that's the candy part.
No, it is kind of Halloween-y, huh?
Because it's chocolate.
And ghost.
Yeah. 3 blind cave fish, 7 glass catfish, and 7 unidentified barbs, which look like tiger barbs on steroids, but with round blotches versus stripes. Everything arrived alive, and before 10 a.m., overnighted from San Diego to Maine. Wow. The ghost knife fish, blind cave tetras, and the glass catfish went into my 75-gallon aquarium, and the barbs were homed in my 55-gallon aquarium. Do you see any eventual problems with the combination of fish in the 75? I was going for a no-light tank, as I can't afford a new light at the moment. The selection of fish I thought would be well-suited to darkness Eventually, I want to buy a red light to illuminate the tank, but not bother the fish. I figure these fish are colorless anyways.
Okay.
Says, love the show, and I'll try to keep you guys posted.
Well, that's a really intriguing idea, where you have a tank that is purely lit or illuminated by like a red light when you want to look at the fish, but you don't, if you're not growing plants in there, I guess you don't need to illuminate it any other way. And with the ambient light's probably enough to see the fish fairly well during the daytime. It's kind of a cool idea. So I think the thing that I worry about a little bit is the ghost knife fish,
mm-hmm.
but only because you remember when John had a ghost knife fish? You remember that?
Remind me.
It's been a while, but he did, and he had it in there with neon tetras.
Mm-hmm.
And the neon tetra's eyes started going missing.
Oh.
And we eventually...
Blind cavefish don't have eyes.
Right.
But the catfish would have eyes, right?
Catfish would have eyes. And maybe they're too big for the ghost knife fish to bother. Maybe not. I'm not sure.
How big do glass catfish get?
Not really big.
Hmm.
But bigger than neon tetras. By a long shot. You know, quite a bit bigger.
How big does the ghost knife fish get?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's not one I've kept, so I'm not sure. Some of the knife fish getting incredibly huge.
I just had an idea.
What?
This is a silly idea and a little bit of a tangent, but mm-hmm. maybe Roger should name the ghost knife fish Mater. Because all I'm hearing is Mater's voice from the ghost light.
The ghost light.
The ghost, it's the ghost knife fish.
Cars movie.
Okay, sorry. That's I'll be done now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, I don't know. A lot about that species that I find them quite intriguing, but I don't know exactly. But I just remember that happening with the neon tetras. And
so that could be something to keep an eye on.
Maybe something to look into. It would target their eyes, and then the fish would sometimes die shortly mm-hmm. thereafter, and sometimes it would survive for a while, but it was kind of scary. And it was only the neons, as far as I recall. And I'm trying to remember how they resolved the problem, whether they removed the knife fish or they removed the neons or what.
Or I don't remember.
Some other third option. I don't remember either. It's been quite a few years, but anyway. Certainly
so
seems like an intriguing
that's
tank.
That's the possibility there, I guess.
That may be. And it may be that the you know, the glass catfish are large enough. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, okay. Maybe something to keep an eye on, though.
Yeah, let us know how it goes, Roger.
See
and
if
anybody else has
on.
Experiences with ghost knives becoming violent, then let us know. You know what? I think it's time for our little thing in the middle.
Oh, is it? Thing mm-hmm. in the middle! Hooray! Go! It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. So, we have one more today. Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hello, Russ and Kelly. First, I just wanted to say that I love the idea of having a reptile segment. Oh, cool. I have two gargoyle geckos. Oh, those were funky looking.
Yeah.
They were cool. A crested gecko, three snakes, and I'm going to say this wrong, a G. hynanensis?
Hynanensis, yeah.
Okay, what's that one? I don't know.
That I believe, is a cave gecko. One of the Chinese cave geckos.
Those ones you told me about that, like,
yes.
They do funny things. I don't
uh-huh.
remember.
Like, they have sharp claws. They can hang upside down. They hang on the sides of walls and so on and then drop on their prey.
But they don't have, like, gecko sticky feet.
No.
They don't have normal sticky gecko
quite,
feet.
They're quite
they
good at holding
claws.
Onto things with their claws.
Why would they not have sticky feet if they're hanging upside down on cave walls? It seems like that would be a useful thing. How did they get around to not having them?
Well, they are similar to leopard geckos in some respects. And leopard mm-hmm. geckos are terrestrial geckos without those toe pads.
So they were terrestrial geckos that made their way into caves and just had to develop claws instead of sticky?
They already had claws, but they had to
better claws.
They use claws that would help them attach themselves to the walls. Very interesting. Lizards, they're fascinating, in fact.
Yeah.
They have almost spider-like legs. Crazy things. And they don't need high temperatures because they live in a accustomed cave. To caves.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
They need to be kept cool, in fact.
It's kind of amazing, the critters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I also have a horned frog and several invertebrates. If I remember, I'll do a brief video. And then he says in parentheses, I probably won't remember.
Well, here's one reminder, Jeremiah, because I'd like to
make a video. Okay. Then he goes
now,
on.
This is referring to Ryan in Kentucky. He was wondering about silicone and the safety of various types and things like that.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so Jeremiah is responding.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, it's good to know that you want a reptile segment, that people are open to that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's at least two votes.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not Fish-A-Max. I love that. Okay. So he says, Jeremiah says, also, as far as silicone being safe, GE, is that a 1?
I think it's a 1, yeah.
Okay, sorry, this font's a
little
funny.
Because there's GE1 and GE2, if I remember correctly.
GE1, window and door is fine, and is what... You are Joey's...
Waru Joey.
Waru Joey. U-A-R-U Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Waru Joey.
Yep.
Okay. Uses to build homemade tanks, and it is what I use in any animal application. It uses acetic acid as a curing agent. I dislike aquarium-branded silicone as it is overpriced and doesn't spread quite right, in my opinion. The label specifically states it is not for use in aquariums. However, I'm sure that this is for liability or insurance reasons rather than being unsuitable, as it is so widely used.
That is great to know. Thank you, Jeremiah. And I wonder if it also may have to do with the price, as you said. Maybe because it's so much more economical.
If they said that it was for aquarium uses, they'd charge more. It's kind of like you put the word wedding in front of something and the price triples.
Yeah, you go to buy a cake. And it costs X amount of dollars.
It's
you go by
$500.
And it's X times 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe it's something like that. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, but I'm glad to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that will be useful information for Ryan and useful information for me, because I've been thinking of doing some projects with silicone too. And knowing that one, the GE1 specifically, is safe and uses acetic acid rather than the scary methanol, good to know.
Well, as far as reptile info for the week, we think Tiki's tail is starting to change color.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it used to, at the beginning, it just had one little white patch, and now it seems to be spreading as she's getting a little older. Like, she's getting more lighter color on her tail.
I think she's getting more of those spots.
The little black spots.
Mm-hmm.
They look like teeny wee chocolate chips.
Yep.
Yeah. It also seems like she kind of recognizes me.
I think so.
I think she does, too. It feels like she does.
Mm-hmm. She really likes to come out.
She does.
And if I'm holding her and you're close by, she always goes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
That's kind of nice. My gecko likes me.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Do we have any other reptile news?
Let's see.
Darn morning geckos laid an egg in the wrong place.
They did. That was kind of weird.
And it fell already broken and desiccated.
Yep. But we've got 8 eggs that all appear to be fertile.
And that's good.
And all two of them are going to hatch within about a month, and then the rest of them are all just going to follow quickly after that. And the baby geckos are the newest crop of baby geckos are growing. They're quite a bit bigger than they were when they hatched a few weeks ago. So they're amazing.
That's good.
How fast they grow. I don't even get it. The first two that hatched that we mentioned on the show are now in with the adults and doing fine and almost as big, not quite, but almost as big at about 4.5 months old.
Yeah. And so far, interestingly enough, we're assuming because we handled them all the time when they were babies and they were in a more open kind of enclosure and used to seeing us, they don't hide nearly as much as the original adults do. Like, they like to kind of come out and just sit and watch the world go by.
Yep. They're not anywhere near as skittish.
Mm-hmm.
I can see one right now, in fact. And usually
I
can look
glass.
Into the vivarium and see those young ones. The adults are a bit harder to see. So
yeah.
I'm also imagining that as we add more geckos to the tank, it'll be more likely to see more of them out at any given time. So yeah, that's all we've got reptile-wise, I think. Do we have any fishy news? Not so much right now, I don't think. But, I think that's all we've got for the week, isn't it?
I believe so.
Well, thank you to all of our contributors.
And may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquaramax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquaramax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquaramax.com.